friends, to the show that never ends. This is Wayback Playback episode number 350, as this week we bring you the conclusion of the NWA Jim Crockett Sr. Memorial Cup 1986. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil, joined as always by the other half of the podcasting tag team champions of time and space, effing king of recovery, Jim Valley. Jim, are you ready to hop into the Wayback Machine, return to 1986, and finish off this party?
Yeah, let's do it, because there ain't no party like a 1986
party,
because
a 1986 party, like
the Rockers. Parties like the Midnight Rockers.
Okay, that might not be the example we're looking for, but no. Absolutely. All right, and again, as always, thank you people for your support over at patreon.com/waybackplayback and in the downloads department, where we are back on the list of all-time most downloaded podcasts in the nation of Ireland. I know, we've moved all the way up to number 58 this week.
Thank you, Ireland.
Yes, it's an honor. It's an honor just to be nominated.
Now, is that Kathy Ireland?
What's that?
Speaking of 1986.
Oh, no. Oh, Kathy Ireland, yeah. Well, I mean, she's in Ireland, isn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, if Kathy's listening, I'm at Real Pat McNeil on Twitter, and Jim is at Jim Valley.
I'm sure she's...
I just thought we'd bring that up there for no reason whatsoever. Yes. All right, so yeah, this is the fourth and final part of the Jim Crockett Show, and what a show, by the way. We've been watching the long version, which somebody uploaded on YouTube, except for the last match. So when it's time for the last match, we are going to switch off this YouTube and go to the other YouTube over at Four Wrestling Fans, which has the commercial version of this show, and then fast forward to where the final match is there and just watch it there.
Okay.
I didn't go over this with you beforehand, but it seemed pretty self-explanatory. Okay.
Used to it.
Yes. Anybody want to, I just want to thank everybody for helping us make it to 350 shows. Jim, there aren't many podcasts that make it to 350 shows.
I'm a patient man.
That's true. You've talked to me for over 350 hours. So.
No, I haven't, because I was in the hospital.
I chose
almost die.
Oh, okay. But you chose to come back, and
I did, and it's killing me.
Well, thank you. So it's been an honor and a pleasure, and if we have some free time, we'll go back and watch the we'll go back and do make episodes out of the episodes that you missed.
Sounds great.
No, it really doesn't, but we're good. But we're open to all sorts of ideas, because at this point it's just it's just the Wild West. We can do anything, really.
It's true.
Yeah, once you hit a certain number of shows. Yeah, I don't know when the royalties come in, though. Like when Gilligan's Island got to 100 episodes, they all got...
One would think, yeah.
Yeah. Well, because this show's going to be on forever. So this is a special show as we mark our 350th episode of Wayback Playback. That's a long time, folks. And for those of you who have not tried our Patreon, it is at patreon.com/waybackplayback. And if you like, for this week only, you can sign up for $3.50 a month in honor of our 350th show. What do you get with our $3.50 tier on our Patreon, the Time Traveler tier? Well, you'll get all 350 episodes of the show. And with the newer episodes, you'll get them ad-free, and you'll get them in advance of when they're posted on the regular podcast feed. So that's it, 350 episodes for $3.50, plus you'll also get some of our bonus content. It's just a way of thanking you for being part of this this watch-along revolution we're having, and we want you to continue with us for another 350 episodes. You can also check out the other tiers that we have available at patreon.com/waybackplayback, and we hope that you'll give it a try, and we hope you'll like it, and let us know how you feel about it. It is patreon.com/waybackplayback. All right. 3 hours, 2 minutes, and 4 seconds into the first annual Jim Crockett Sr. Memorial Cup Tag Team Tournament, and I am staring at a black screen.
Correct.
Okay, so we have, in this hour, we have the final quarterfinal match, the Mid-South title match, no disqualification, the NWA title match, and then the finals of the tournament. Everybody's we're all in the same place. Okay, and if you missed it, go back to episodes 347 and 349 on this very podcast feed. And let's all hit play together in 3, 2, 1. All right. It's been a crazy week here, as usual. And we're here, as usual. And this is the one we've been waiting for, the final quarterfinal match. Yes. From Japan, it's Tiger Mask and Giant Baba.
There we go. And that's Misawa.
Yes, it is.
That's not Sayama. That's the All Japan Tiger Mask versus the original New Japan Tiger.
Right. So, yeah, Baba and Misawa on the one side. On the other side, Magnum T.A., Terry Allen, and Rugged Ronnie Garvin.
You know, it's kind of fascinating because you got two guys that started in the 60s with Garvin and Baba. Two guys have been wrestling about 5-ish years here in Misawa and Magnum T.A.
Well, he's only been wrestling 5 years, but he's built up some tremendous scar tissue, Jim.
God, is he ever. Yeah. The protege of Dusty Rhodes.
That's right. Oh. And nowhere is it more evident than that shot of his forehead.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, the American team has matching gear. And that's at least something.
Well, I think you're going to be able to tell the difference between Baba and Tiger Mask.
Yes, I think so.
I think so.
I just thought it was a nice touch. Okay. So this is one fall, 20-minute time limit. And if there is no winner, I believe the Road Warriors automatically become the Crockett Cup champions and win the $1 million.
And look at that gross, gross mat there.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right after the Fantastics and the Sheepherders. And that's kind of what you get. And I mean, literally right after. That was, you know, match just ended. So I can actually say something like the blood hasn't even dried yet, and you know there might be something to that.
That's true. It's probably a little squishy. It's kind of gross.
Disgusting. Yes, that's pretty disgusting. Yeah. If you think about it. But you know the NWA really cares about everybody, and so does the Superdome, as you can see from the ads for Marlboro and Budweiser.
Yes, and you also know that somewhere in St. Paul, Minneapolis. After watching the Shawn Michaels A&E biography, that the Rockers are somewhere doing yayo, probably somewhere in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, well, yikes.
Yeah, they probably are, but that's okay.
You know, maybe. Yeah, they probably are.
Ready for putting the Rock in Wrestle Rock.
That's right. Oh, there we go. And Magnum T.A. taking down Tiger Mask.
That's true, and Giant Baba would also appear at Wrestle Rock.
That's true. He had that big matchup against Bulldog Bob Brown.
Yeah. God.
Oh gosh. Words can't describe it here, except that if you get our Patreon and go back into the archives and yeah, we'll fill it in. As a matter of fact, for this week only, I think the Patreon in honor of our anniversary. The time traveler tier on Patreon, $3.50.
So, what a guy.
Just for this week, yeah. Everybody's on the other tier anyway, so it doesn't matter. Okay, there we go. Let me get to the ropes. I would like to congratulate our man Ken Banks, his dog Lady celebrating her 18th birthday.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yes, it is. Yes. Very happy for him. All right. Hot tag into Baba. He seems to be a very patient man.
Yeah, I wonder what Baba told Tiger Mask about. Just slow it down. Yeah. Lots of headlocks.
This is America. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep it simple. Hey.
He goes, wait till you see who I wrestle tomorrow night.
Yeah. You think this is something? Okay, there we go. Now, wait, refresh my memory. The next night at Wrestle Rock, who does Tiger Mask wrestle? And I know the answer, and you know the answer.
Yeah, it's amazing. Bulldog Bob Brown is one of the worst wrestlers of all time. One of the most worst famous wrestlers of all time. He's like a poor man's Bruiser and Crusher.
Yes, but who does Misawa wrestle at WrestleRock? And you know this.
Oh, God. Does he wrestle? God, who does he wrestle? I'm trying to remember.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock.
Does he wrestle Zumoff?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, we flew Tiger Mask. We flew Misawa to Minnesota and put him in there with Buck Zumoff with the AWA. Okay. Like, on that note, tag in the magnet. I know. I hope the check cleared. That's all right.
Oh, I'm sure this is basically just a paid vacation for Baba.
Yeah.
They probably had a good time in New Orleans.
I would expect so. It's kind of, you know,
probably what it was.
80s
yeah.
in New Orleans. You know, hard not to have a good time.
Come by.
Yeah.
I should ask Fumi. It probably was just a vacation. Yeah. I can't believe I probably have asked him. I just forgot.
Mm-hmm. That happens. Oh, there we go. Nice drop kick. Well. Okay. Ooh. Everything Misawa does is, you know, I mean, it's slower than normal, but it's all very crisp, you know.
So in case you're wondering, in like, God, I want to say 83, I think, 84, maybe 84, mm-hmm. All Japan bought the rights to Tiger Mask because Sayama quit.
Right.
Sayama quit New Japan, so they bought the rights and they had it for a number of years.
Yes. And that's how you get our man Tiger Mask here.
Yeah.
Not to be confused with Black Tiger, who I believe was Eddie Guerrero. That was another.
Yeah.
But that's another story. Yep.
But Misawa was Tiger Mask until 1990 when he ripped it off in the match. I am Misawa! Yes. Very famous. That pretty much everybody already knew. Okay, what was that? Who got hurt on that?
I don't know. I think there was supposed to be a neck breaker.
It looked like they took the same fall.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, but it should hurt less for Baba because he's Baba.
You know, this is, I mentioned that I'd love to see all of the talent on this show, but to see particularly Tiger Mask have to wrestle like this. Very, I'd be really disappointed.
Crank it in, yeah.
Wow. That's some precision right there.
Yep. Well, I mean, you know, he could try to do his Tiger Mask moves from Japan, but you'd have Ronnie Garvin just looking at him kind of funny.
Yeah.
Not worth it.
Pretty amazing. I mean, everybody in there, Baba held the former world champion, All Japan Triple Crown,
right.
Misawa Triple Crown, Noah, everybody there held world titles except for Magnum, unfortunately.
And Magnum was on his way. I mean, I'm guessing, you know, can't prove it, but I'm guessing the main event of Starrcade 86 was supposed to be Magnum and Ric Flair.
Yeah.
That would have made sense.
Yeah.
But it was a month too soon, I think. Was it a month or 2 months too soon? Anyway, but you get, yeah. It was not great timing.
Very sad. But, you know, Magnum, he's happily married.
He survived.
Children. Yeah, he's a successful career. You know, he made the best of the situation.
Mm.
He's a nice man.
All right. Tagging back into Baba. Crowd trying to keep up with the with this matchup. The crowd's interested. It's just, you know, they're kind of waiting. And they're not 100%. And again, they're not 100% sure who's going to win this one.
Right.
Here we go. And here comes Ronnie Garvin. Oh, there we go. And Garvin's in the wrong part of town. Referee has lost control of this one. Not that the referee ever had control of this one, but yeah.
Yeah, this is just a basic tag team match.
Another schoolboy Baba, here we go. Nope. I'm guessing you're not allowed to pin Giant Baba with a schoolboy.
I'm guessing you're not allowed to pin Giant Baba.
Well, that's probably true too. Here we go. No. But these guys are the number two and number three baby faces in Crockett, so they have to be protected too. Somersault. Oh.
There we go. See, I'd be a little happier getting to see some Tiger Mask moves.
Mm-hmm. And this is pretty much his last chance to get some moves in.
It's a great finish.
Oh. Belly to belly. Magnum TA continues his incredible run.
It could have been a little sharper, but that's a great idea for a finish.
Yes, it is. Think of it as the sort of 1986 equivalent of the RKO out of nowhere.
Yeah, it really is. Hey, Magnum, I'm drunk. I want to meet up later.
Okay, baby.
Hey, Magnum.
Mm-hmm. Hey, buddy. Good job, Magnum.
Good to see the Zach Brown band there.
Yes, very nice. Yes, they're just sitting right next to the Florida Georgia line, I believe.
Yeah, they're waiting for the boat to come in.
Mm-hmm. All right, and they're off to Bourbon Street, kids.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. Well, they'll figure out the Superdome is not near Bourbon Street, but yeah, that's what cab drivers are for. All right. Now it's time for the big stuff. I mean, not that any of these matches were unimportant, but we're gonna see what the people have come here to see here in the Superdome, the battle for the UWF title. Oh, hold on. What's Bruce saying? Yeah. There are no semifinals, Bruce Pritchard is explaining. Yep. Oh, the North American title.
Yeah, it's not the UWF yet, I don't think.
Okay.
They haven't.
It's about UWF time, isn't it? We're getting there.
Yeah.
Here he comes. The number one contender for the North American title. And the booker. Dick Slater. Big entrances aren't really a thing here.
There's a gigantic title. Size of a car door.
Oh. All right. This is Jim Ross's big moment of the night. Yeah, now this is for the UWF North American Heavyweight Championship.
Okay. They haven't gotten rid of it yet.
He is Mr. Unpredictable Dick Slater.
Mr. Out of My Own Identity Dick Slater.
All right. Here we go. Ho!
Now, this is cool, Jim Duggan.
Well, you did say ho.
This is badass Jim Duggan.
Okay.
This isn't clowny Jim Duggan.
Yep.
This is cool Bill Watts Jim Duggan.
That's right, tough guy.
This is before he went to the WWF.
Well, you know he's cool because he's wearing black trunks. So.
Yeah, no, he's badass here.
Okay.
This is cool, Jim Duggan. This isn't dorky, Jim Duggan. Right.
USA! Nope, no. Guess not. All right. Got him in the corner. All right, there we go.
I'm not a fan of Dick Slater.
Yeah, well.
He's just a Terry Funk ripoff. It's like, I don't know. Calling yourself Mr. Unpredictable or Mr. Electricity or whatever. It's like, I don't know. He doesn't.
Well, Herb Abrams is Mr. is the only Mr. Electricity I recognize.
What about Steve Regal? Thank you very much. Boy, I don't know. I've never been a fan of Dick Slater.
He's a perfectly good worker.
Without his own style or identity.
Well, this is pro wrestling. I mean, it's amazing that the rebel Dick Slater didn't catch on, though.
Yeah, I know. God.
I mean, that seemed like a win.
I'm going down to the surplus store and buy a flag, and that's going to be my robe. Mm-hmm. Sure you want to spend more than $6? Oh, no. No. That'll get me over in the WWF.
Yeah. I also got an 8-track tape of Midnight Rider by the Allman Brothers.
Yeah.
We won't be needing that.
I got some Hank Jr. in a trucker hat. I'm set.
Preacher Man says it's the end of... No. I can't do that, but we all know that's Jamie Noble's music anyway. So, all right. Well, there was somebody with the American flag.
We're not American, that's who.
Mm-hmm.
It's a young Cody Rhodes.
Yeah, that's right. You're just sitting there thinking about which tattoo he's going to get many years from now. Oh, hey, there we go. Leapfrog and the elbow. All right. Well, that's up
to, yep. Yeah, Jim Duggan. They do a, not too long from now, they do a tournament for the new EWF title.
Yes.
And then Duggan be gone from Watts and he'd go to WWF.
Because everybody went to WWF.
Yeah, the rest is history. Yeah.
They took guys they didn't want just so Bill Watts couldn't have them. Although they did that everywhere.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh no.
Oh.
Look at the damage Jim Duggan did to that bike rack. Okay. Now that. Yeah, I'm sorry. I know you know how to fall, but that's not fun.
No.
He's got that crazy look in his eye that only Hacksaw Jim Duggan can get.
And seriously, if they move that guard closer to the fan, someone could have got hurt.
Yeah. Well, that's why you don't do that. That's why you leave. That's why you leave space, unless you're doing an indie show.
Well, they had a lot of space here.
Yes. Yeah, you can't get much more spacious than the Louisiana Superdome.
I was there after Hurricane Katrina, covering the aftermath of that. So.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I saw all the garbage and all the rough damage and and everything. And I was there when President Bush first toured everything.
Yep. I don't know if New Orleans is actually 100% back from that.
It's impossible. I mean, when you've got oil and water flooding everything, that's going to soak into the infrastructure and cause some pretty permanent damage.
Although I think it did in a bizarre way help New Orleans land two WrestleManias. And two good ones too.
Well, then it's worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Totally worth it.
Well. I mean, I just think the logic holds that, you know, pretty much any place that can, you know, any city that can host a Super Bowl should be able to host a WrestleMania.
Was there talk of SummerSlam in Las Vegas at the Raiders Stadium?
Yep, it's hold 70,000.
It's crazy.
Well, it's, I mean, it's no crazier than having, you know, than having NFL games in Las Vegas in the first place.
Oh, it's just they're going from 0 to 60. It seems like, wow.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm just saying, wow.
It was bound to happen eventually. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I'm trying to imagine a WrestleMania in Las Vegas. Sort of. I mean, I think Las Vegas might be the WrestleMania city, the WWE city from that Scooby Doo movie.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I mean, you look at, you know, Double or Nothing was successful.
Yeah.
In Las Vegas, and Halloween Havocs were successful
for a
in
while,
Las yeah. Vegas, yeah, for a while. But I mean, in many ways, there have been a lot of failures for wrestling in Las Vegas.
Yeah, and you would think, you know, I mean, you'd think it would work because, I mean, Las Vegas, you're seeing, you know, you're seeing some retread entertainment for premium prices there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it were. I mean, it's not WrestleMania, it's SummerSlam. I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know. I mean, I guess it's going to depend on pricing. Like, you know, it's going to depend on a lot of things.
Yeah, we there's a lot we don't know about how it's going to be when wrestling comes back. I mean, WrestleMania was nice just to have an audience.
Yeah. This isn't a bad match.
No, it isn't. I mean, I think people were, I don't know. I mean, this is a no DQ match between, you know, two guys who are, you know, who have reps as hard hitters. So it wouldn't make sense for them to go 30, 35 minutes.
Did he hit a Hebner?
Yes, he did.
He dropped a knee on Earl Hebner?
Yes, he did.
That bastard.
I know. I mean, I know Earl Hebner refed 100,000 matches, but that one's got to stand out. Oh, bombs away. Only two.
If I'm WWF in this time frame and I'm seeing it, what'd they draw to this? 14,000?
13,000. And 3,000, and like 3,000 for the afternoon's show. So,
God, it's like, what if they're laughing at that? Or I wonder what the reaction was.
I mean, you know, I mean, that would be a good crowd if they were running, you know, any of the other New Orleans arenas.
Yeah, an average, you know, your average NBA style size arena, yeah.
Oh, the football tackle and the headbutt. Yay, and that's it. Ho!
Wow.
Jim Duggan, ladies and gentlemen.
Jim Duggan could have dominated that match. Mm-hmm. And the winner of the car door.
Hey. Jim Duggan. Well, I mean, it's big, but it's not a belt made out of a hubcap.
It's pretty close. Man, that thing is big.
Yes, it is. And the title alludes Dick Slater. I'd try to feel sorry for him, but yeah. All right, there we go. Hey, all the Duggan fans out here. All right, so that leaves two big matches to go. And here we are.
You know, Dusty won the title later during the Great American Bash. I wonder, had the crowd been bigger, had they drawn more, had they changed the title here, I wonder.
Yeah, maybe, I guess.
You know?
Yes.
There's Paul Bosch.
Right. There we go. Tommy Young. Weighing in at 265 pounds, my ass. Yes, Dusty Rhodes.
His ass is about that big, yeah.
Yeah. And they love Baby Doll here in New Orleans. All right. There it goes.
You know, they're doing the Most Wanted Treasures.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the black robe. But I think that robe that Flair's wearing was also stolen.
That's a nice robe.
I think it's that one that was stolen when he worked Kansas City for Bob Keigel.
Oh dear.
I think he says in a shoot interview that someone took it to the backstage, he never saw it again. I'm pretty sure it's that one. If not, it's one like it.
And somehow whoever stole the robe never sold it to Conrad?
Who knows?
Well, yeah. No, I think we would know if that had happened. Anyway, there is Ric Flair. How do you misspell the belt on his nameplate? How do you misspell his name on the nameplate? It just boggles the mind. Or they had just not settled on how to spell his name yet. I don't know. All right, here we go. And run away. There. Yay.
These guys wrestled so many times.
Yeah, they could sleepwalk through the first 10 minutes of one of their matches. Okay, back me in the corner. Yep. Lean break, sort of.
You know, Dusty was. Dusty did do big business for Watts as a special attraction coming in, so
oh, yeah.
I'm sure that when they put this together, they thought that this would probably do better.
I'm sure they did. Come on, Dusty. Here we go.
Are you and Baby Doll friends on Parler?
No, I don't get on Parler as much as I'd like to because
right now these I'm days, yeah.
Very busy.
Right, yeah. That's good though.
Yeah. I'm still friends with her on Facebook, does that I think.
Sure.
Although I haven't seen that Drake Works guy on Facebook a lot. I don't know what he's
doing. No, don't forget. Wonder what he's doing these days.
I don't know. Well, let's see. I'm guessing he's watching Newsmax right about now.
Probably. OAN?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's a matter of personal preference, I believe.
Gotcha. I don't even know if I get those.
Yeah. He might, you can probably, I'm sure you can find either of them. And he might be trying to talk the MyPillow guy into starting his own wrestling federation for a long
time. Hey, there with that. Now that's a great idea.
For whom?
I don't know.
Yep. There we go. You know, I mean, the MyPillow guy and the deathmatch guy.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. Go to MyPillowDeathmatch.com. No, I don't think there's any need to disrespect the MyPillow guy.
He's living the American dream.
Yes, he is.
No pun intended.
Yes, well. It's kind of hard not to intend that pun. But. All right, getting back in. There's a heated discussion going on there in that front row. I don't know what it's about. All right, this time it's Flair getting the advantage. And, yep. Yeah, trying to shoulder block Dusty Rhodes with a full head of steam, that just doesn't seem like a good idea. Anyway, I mean, 1986, this is a positively spry Dusty Rhodes compared to what we'd see in the next few years.
Yeah, his mobility deteriorated very quickly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My guess is those knee braces he's wearing only held up for so long.
Yeah. That's, you know? Yeah. You know, you gain weight, you put added pressure on your knees. Yeah.
Yeah.
And if your knees aren't good to begin with, well, then you're me. So, yeah.
Yeah, mine hurt all the time. I hurt all the time.
Yeah, Jim, everything you have hurts all the time.
It does. It does.
Yeah. Oh, God. Ah. There we go. Up. Oh, he's up. Oh, fooled him. Nope. Oh, doggone it. Oh, there we go. That's at least a different counter.
Ric Flair's got just a mass of hair.
Yep.
From the back, he looks like Chick Donovan.
Well, but yeah, I mean, Ric Flair's hair is a signature. I mean, who'd be dumb enough to tell Ric Flair to cut his hair?
That's true.
5 minutes have elapsed. And we're going to get the knee drop. Oh, there we go.
Wow, I can't believe it connected.
Yep.
He was that taking too. So long, I thought for sure. And he did the woo. I was like, oh, it's not connecting.
No. He's going to do it again.
Okay. No way now.
Yep, that's two.
What?
I guess he's got to go for a third.
It's the third time that you go to the well? Okay.
Yeah. At least that's the way it is in Bob Keller matches. I don't know how it works here. Oh, no. Oh, just throws him out of the ropes. Oh, there we go. They're planning to go a while, I'm guessing. Plus, Dusty needed the blade. Okay, gotcha.
Do we get color? We got color already?
Yes, he did.
Wow. 6 minutes in. And it looks like it's 20 minutes in.
Well, you know, why waste time? I mean, I suppose, hypothetically, you know, he could have landed on the floor in a way that busted open his forehead.
How long is he?
Anyway. Oh, yeah, he's got that's some color.
He still has the blade in his fingers, I think.
Yeah, that.
I think he's still holding it.
That's always awkward.
Yeah. Jeez, sorry.
Yeah.
That's
a bit much.
Yeah, I think he's still holding it. He's yeah, intercepting his forefinger.
It's like Dusty. Really, you're not going to need to make another pass at that.
No. What? Look. See. Look.
Oh,
at his...
there it is. That was the third knee drop, and he missed it.
There it is. Third one. Finally.
They called it. They brought it back. Got to pay attention. These guys are telling a story.
He's still holding his thumb and his forefinger together.
Yeah. All right.
No, he's not.
Well, now he's got it. Well, now he's got a perfect opportunity to dispose it. Yeah. Oh, come on. Oh.
Why not add to some fantastic and cheap herder blood?
Yep. We need more blood.
It seems really early to look like that.
Well, it does. It does. It's very early into the match. It also seemed like a bad spot to do it, where you could have just rammed Dusty into the post and done it that way. Of course, I'm criticizing Rick. We're criticizing. We realize who we're criticizing, though.
Yeah. Oh, who knows? I mean, maybe they're only going a few minutes. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's very rushed.
For some reason, I thought this was a longer match.
I thought it was too, but it seems very rushed.
Going to the eyes didn't even work.
Baby doll looks a little like Joan Van Ark.
Yeah, and that shot, that shot you did.
That shot. Okay. And that's a compliment.
There's, in the 80s, absolutely it's a compliment.
Yeah.
I mean, there are ways to make, there are ways to shoot her that look flattering and ways that aren't flattering. And, when she was with Dusty, they went out of their way to make her look good. Oh, and he's got the sleeper on. The fact that Ric Flair has never finished a match with a sleeper hold in the 13 years preceding this.
Aaron Hunter.
Did not deter you from believing that Dusty's in serious trouble.
Triple H tried to bring me the sleeper and never won with it.
Yeah. That was a problem.
Yeah. This is the cover of like every third After magazine right there.
All right. Yeah.
Totally. That shot right there is
displayed
dozens of After magazines of that picture.
There we go. Ooh. And there's the face. All right, we've hit the 10-minute mark. Yeah, normally on a Crockett show, 10 minutes in the title matches is like the warm up.
Right.
I don't know if the rule changes because Flair and Dusty aren't on last, but
maybe they figure there's been a lot of wrestling, so we don't need to go as long tonight.
There has been a lot of wrestling. Mostly it's been good wrestling,
Yeah, I know it's been good wrestling. We're saying it's like there's been other matches that have taken time, so we don't need to eat up more time.
That's true. But unlike a Northeast Indie show, they're just warming up at this point. Oh, there we go. Figure four. Dusty's losing his mind. The crowd's going crazy. I don't know, Jim. I think Dusty might be trying to reverse the figure four here.
Nah.
It seems like a long shot, but I think that's what he's going for. Come on, though. There we go. Almost. Almost. Well, I'll be darned. Baby doll seems a little frustrated.
Wait till she goes to Kansas City.
Yeah, no kidding.
She has to work Central States.
Oh, here we go. No! And now it's Dusty's turn. Nope, Flair made the ropes. Oh! And I think Ric Flair is, I think Ric Flair might have been busted open there. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. If the first shot didn't do it, the second shot did.
Yeah, I think it's the second shot, yeah.
All right. Sunset flip. Uh-oh. And you get the feeling that people are ready to see Dusty Rhodes regain the heavyweight title. It's been a while, after all.
Yeah, 1981.
Yep.
It's been 5 years.
Six. Seven. All right. You hate to see that. There he goes. He's tying him to the tree of woe. He's tying him to the tree of woe there, Jim.
That was very slick on Flair's part. That was very smooth.
Oh, yeah.
Impressive.
That's why he's Ric Flair.
Yeah. You know, when they did this match in Portland, they brought it to Portland and Seattle and Spokane. And it didn't sell out in Portland. They brought the Road Warriors and the Russians and Dusty and Flair and then the regular Portland crew.
Right.
And it didn't sell out in Portland.
Well, that's a shame.
Yeah.
All right, we fit the 15-minute mark. Nope. Oh, he's got him. I don't know how Flair's gonna get out of that. Right.
I wonder if these photographers that are behind the guardrail, if they're like local newspaper photographers, that they don't trust to get closer, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Well, Apter and Napolitano are allowed to be up close.
Well, because, yeah, because of their stature, because, you know.
Because they can trust them.
Yeah.
You're not going to get some story about I saw a razor blade or I could hear them talking or whatever.
No, you can't. Okay, so at this point, Flair has held the title since regaining it from Kerry Von Erich May 24th, 1984 in Japan. So we're like looking at almost 2 years he's had the title in this
one. Yeah. And he's basically controlled it since 81.
Yeah. Off and on. Yeah, there's a couple of couple switches with Harley Race, obviously.
Yeah, Harley.
The Kerry Von Erich thing.
Yeah.
The Victor, Victor Hovick, I don't know.
You mean Jack Veneno? Victor Jovic belt.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay. Jack Veneno's 1982.
Yeah.
Victor Jovic beat Ric Flair and Trinidad, but yeah.
Did Victor Jovic do that? Okay.
Yes.
I don't remember that.
But it was reversed because he had his feet on the ropes. And I think it was similar circumstances. Let's see. Well, we lost the belt to the Midnight Rider in 82.
Yeah, that doesn't count.
Well, it really doesn't.
Because Dusty wouldn't unmask. That was the gimmick.
Right. Okay. And he made it. And he makes to the reps. But Flair's title is in serious jeopardy here in New Orleans. Oh.
The only thing is that, Watts is not in NWA territory.
No, he's not. I mean, the NWA title is being defended here.
Yeah.
But then again, it wasn't like Crockett was giving out Crockett was actually loaning out the champ.
Right.
Oh no.
Not Tommy Young.
Oh, poor Tommy Young.
He never takes bumps.
He's down on that dangerous floor that busted Dusty Rhodes open. Well, Baby Doll's gonna wake up. Baby Doll's gonna get him back in the ring. Like, come on, Tommy, let's go. All right. Oh, he's got the boot off. Oh, he hit him with his own boot. What a dastardly maneuver.
What did that do?
Well, I guess the stench of the foot odor from the boot killed Dusty. Oh, no, it's a two count. Well, we've hit the 20-minute mark. Oh, and he's trying. What was he trying to accomplish here? Nope. He knocked Flair out with the foreign object. So, and he knocked Tommy Young out with the boot.
Was that the boot that's reinforced because Dusty's ankle was bad?
Yeah, something like that. Well, his ankle's taped, so yeah. So yeah, he's hit him with the reinforced boot a couple times, but
okay.
But Ric Flair wins, but Baby Doll's happy, so yeah. Hey, thought about that, Tommy. Got a little carried away there. All right, there's your winner, Ric Flair. I mean, Dusty can parade around with the belt, but yeah. Take it down to Bourbon Street with him.
Yeah.
All right. Tommy Young's explaining it, yeah. All right. Well, the Flair fans are happy. Unfortunately, if you were expecting Dusty Rhodes to win the title at the Crockett Cup, you're disappointed.
Yeah, my opinion is had they sold out, not sell out, but had they done, say...
Good business, yeah.
20,000, 25,000, 30,000.
They might have switched it.
They might have switched it.
Yeah. They might have switched it a little early. I mean, because Dusty was getting it eventually. All right. All right, well, let's see. They're yep. Tommy Young might need medical attention. Ric Flair. Okay, I think this is. Oh, hold on. I guess we're gonna get the start of this. It looks like the first. Now let's. I guess we should stop it here and get to the other version of this. Stop this version. We're gonna go ahead and Jim and I are going to go ahead and find where this out loud. Okay, so we are back. We have gone to dailymotion.com and pulled up the Crockett Cup 1986. And the final match starts on that video at 1 hour. Go ahead, Jim. Just explain it.
So you search on Daily Motion. Yeah. Just search Crockett Cup 86. Go to the end. Go to 1 hour, 46 minutes, and 44 seconds. You'll get a picture of the Crockett Cup. It says Crockett Cup Championship in 1986 graphics. So there you go.
All right, it's fantastic, and we're all going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1, go. All right, and we're getting the nice little nice music, which we like. And I'm going to start right here.
There's high-resolution pictures.
Yep, those are.
There.
And there they are, Barney Garvin, Magnum TA, entering the ring.
So as if you couldn't tell, this is the commercial version of the video, so it wouldn't surprise me if this match is cut down.
It wouldn't surprise me either.
Yeah.
And here they are, the Legion of Doom, the Road Warriors. Okay, here we go. Tony Schiavone is thrilled.
Were they at Wrestle Rock? The Road Warriors?
Yes, they were. They fought Hayes and Garvin.
Gosh.
Yep, quite a weekend for everybody, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, beat that. Yeah, but those should be two good paydays, though. Okay, there he is. All right, rugged Ronnie Garvin, man with the hands of stone. And the U.S. Heavyweight Champion himself, Magnum T.A. Looking good.
You know, the Road Warriors are approaching this like this is a big match. I mean, look at them there. They're not scowling. They're not doing anything. They're pacing like, okay, this is a big deal. You know, this is a big fight feel.
Yes, it is. Earl Hebner is your referee. So you know everything's going to be on the up and up.
That's right. Unless you're Hulk Hogan or Bret Hart.
Well. Okay. Oh. And you're getting the offense now that, you know, you're getting the fast pace and it feels like a big event. I agree. I like the way the Road Warriors were, you know, they were doing their impression of caged animals. They, you know, can't chomping at the bit to get this over with.
For my money, this is peak Road Warriors.
It's hard to imagine, you know. Yeah, I think so. I'm trying to think of what, you know, I mean, in terms of, you know, in terms of build and in terms of popularity.
Yeah. I mean, they're still going all over the country selling out. I mean, the Road Warrior pop is real.
Yes, it is.
You know, they were the Bruiser Brody of tag teams. You could put their name on a marquee and you're going to sell. Mm-hmm. You're going to sell more tickets. They're a draw.
That's right. So, yeah, actually, their final appearance was, Their final appearance was the AWA for the AWA was the next night at Wrestle Rock, believe it or not.
I can believe it. I mean, they were kind of getting tired of Vern.
And this is kind of the start of their running Jim Crockett Promotions. You know, they're still doing Japan.
Yeah.
They're in they're in all Japan, and they're stars.
Huge stars. They signed for like $10,000 a week or something like that. Yeah. Now Fumi was at the airport when they first arrived. He goes, incredible, insane, like the Beatles.
Yep, I heard. Yeah, I mean, you know, there's something you don't see every. There's something you didn't see every day back in 1986 in Tokyo, I imagine.
God, they're awesome. It's funny. I don't know if you heard it, but on What Happens When with Conrad and Tony Schiavone. That Crockett Cup, the actual physical cup, had been in the family for a long time.
Oh yeah, it was. I mean, they used it as a baseball trophy for one of their,
They won like the championship, and they brought it out on the field like it was the cup for the whatever the Charlotte O's won, whatever title they won.
Yeah, the whatever minor league. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever league, and it really wasn't. It was just a cup that was in the family, and they engraved it for the Crockett Cup.
Yeah, but I mean, it's brilliant because, you know, you run a wrestling promotion and you run a baseball team. You never know when you're going to need a huge trophy.
You never know.
Well, and you know, maybe this would have been a big tradition if the you know, company had been alive for the past 30 years.
I mean, that's an awesome looking cup. There's no question. I mean, say what you want. That's an impressive cup. That looks expensive.
Yeah. I mean, I respect what the NXT, what they tried to do in NXT with the Dusty Rhodes, you know, with the Dusty Rhodes Classic and the trophy for that.
Yeah.
Same idea. Okay, but Hawk's selling for he's selling for Magnum. A lot of guys, yeah. There were guys that the Road Warriors didn't respect and wouldn't sell for.
Yeah.
And of course people are gonna sell Ronnie Garvin. But I think the Road Warriors are a little more willing to do business with people where they, you know, well, they know they're going to get put over in the end.
Right.
Like anybody in wrestling.
Well, they got to protect themselves.
Yep.
You know, they're big, big stars. They've got to protect what they own, what they build. I mean, you know, if they look bad or cost them money, it's like no one's going to make that up to them.
Nope. I mean, they really were, you know, They really were managing themselves. This isn't like, modern WWE or even AEW, I think, to an extent. You got to maintain the business relationship with different companies and, you know, but look to protect yourself.
Well, especially that Japan deal. You don't want to look bad.
Well, no.
Cost you money in Japan. Like, you know, that's what Bruiser Brody was famous for.
Okay, this might have stalled for me. I just got the 5-minute call.
I don't have my audio up, so I don't know.
Okay, well, Hawk just suplexed, hit a gut wrench suplex on Magnum.
Okay, I think I'm ahead of you.
Okay, you might be.
Animal. I haven't had any stalls, though, that's why.
That's probably why. Yep. Okay, bear hug, okay. The Bruno backbreaker.
I've got Animal with Magnum in a rear chin lock.
Okay, here, I got that. All right. There we go.
And Animal's looking big.
And God. Yeah, and he's talking, and yeah. Magnum looks, oh! Yeah.
The arm.
And Magnum looks like half of his mustache has been ripped off. Yeah. It wasn't, spoiler, but you know.
Road Warriors working subtle heel here.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that made sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Considered.
Yeah.
Ronnie and, you know, Garvin and Magnum are, well, I don't know that they are coming back to New Orleans, but they need, I mean, they're on TV. They need to be protected.
Look at that tag, basically, from the middle of the ring. That's how big those guys are.
Uh-huh.
Hawk was going to get up after that missed leg drop, but oh yeah, I got a sell for Magnum.
Mm-hmm.
Like he forgot.
Right.
Right now, the Midnight Rockers are destroying a hotel room in St. Paul.
Well, yeah.
I'd like to point that out in real,
yeah,
in real time.
Midnight.
According to the Shawn Michaels Black. Sean just tried cocaine.
Okay, well, for the first time, I'm sure it was. I'm sure it was very interesting. Yeah, just let me know when. Okay, I've got Magnum hitting the belly to belly and Hawk making the save.
I've got Animal wailing on Magnum.
Okay, there we go. Oh, Garvin. Yeah, I'll pause it. Garvin tagged in. I know you're not.
You hit the belly to belly on. No, he hit the belly to belly on Animal. You say Hawk?
Right.
Hawk made the save? Okay.
Yeah.
That just happened for me.
Okay, so I'm a little bit. Okay, I think it skips a little bit after. Well, either that or. Never mind. I'm probably just lost. Just keep going. All right.
Animal's finally reaching the tag. Tag to Hawk, tag to Garvin. Hot tag to Ronnie Garvin. Ronnie Garvin is a house of fire. A small house, but he's a house.
Oh, there's a fire.
Yeah, maybe a rambler.
Yeah.
But he's a house of fire.
He is. He knows what he is.
Oh, man, those headbutts having an effect on Ronnie Garvin.
Well, you hate to see it.
Yeah.
Although Garvin, you know, of all the, you know, Garvin had the long career.
Couldn't quite fit Hawk for that abdominal stretch. Hands of stone.
Oh,
no. An Animal can't believe it.
Oh, man.
What is Magnum doing?
I don't know.
Ronnie hurt his hand. He hurt his hand. He hurt his hand. Okay. There comes that dastardly Animal.
Oh, no.
Wow, that's the finish?
I guess so.
That was the finish. Wow.
That probably wasn't what they originally agreed on.
What a heel finish. The Road Warriors win it, and the crowd goes wild.
Okay, and we just cut right to the presentation?
First you see the finish, yeah. Boy, what a cheap finish that was.
Okay, well. And here she comes. Here comes the Widow Crockett.
Frances Crockett.
Yes.
Said.
Okay.
There's some booze in there, wow.
See these two something tight. Now there's a check. Well, they printed a check for $1 million, so you know it's legit.
Yeah.
And your Road Warriors are your champions, man.
Just like, who the hell are these guys?
Yeah. All right, these two fellas here. All right, you get all the still shots here.
Yeah. I mean, as a kid, this was a big deal because this reiterated the feeling that the Road Warriors were the most awesome tag team in wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And they get screwed every other year. Their world title, I think, Rain and Crockett took too long to get. But, I mean, they were in this day and age, the mid-80s, was peak Road Warriors, and they were awesome.
And I mean, you get the sense with this video package, yeah. Yeah, everybody was on this show. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a ton of stars on this show.
Right.
A ton of legends.
Yes. Yay. All right, so congratulations to Animal and Hawk, the Road Warriors, the Legion of Doom, and all that. Oh, and watch for the Great American Bash and Starrcade 86. They're coming soon.
Yes.
Yes, that's very important. Okay.
Great American Bash 86 is a great video cassette.
Yes, it is.
Is that on YouTube somewhere? We should watch that. That's great.
Actually, well, yeah, we should definitely look for it, though, before we make that decision.
Nah.
This all worked out so well.
It worked out fine for this.
Yeah, it did, yes. Yeah. I mean, it worked out fine for the listeners at home who didn't have to listen to us trying to dig through to find it.
I found it in like 2 seconds on Daily Motion.
That's true, yeah.
Do you want to go behind the scenes at World Championship Wrestling and find out what really happened from one of the greatest minds in the history of the business, the infamous booker behind WCW's success with the New World Order? Other podcasts weren't there. Let's clean up the fantasy bullshit, give you real facts and real stories with the Taskmaster himself. Yes, this is Taskmaster Talks with Kevin Sullivan, available on the Creative Control Network.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lourmet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, MUSIQUE-EPIQUE.com.
All right, so where do we go from here? Let's go to, next up for Jim Crockett Promotions. Let's see. We get to Sunday, May the 20th, and hold on. I admit I could have been better prepared for this, but it's going to be a busy like 5 years here with these kids. So, okay. Next big show was they had a double shot here. The A show went over to. Yeah, I think they had a matinee in Savannah, and then the live show at the Greenville Coliseum. So in Savannah, they had the Rock and Roll Express and Manny Fernandez defeating the Midnight Express and Jim Cornette. Gee, I wonder what the finish to that was. Then in Greensboro, it's a six-man tag with Dusty Rhodes and the Rock and Roll Express beating Ric Flair, Tully Blanchard, and Arn Anderson in an elimination match. And the real main event, the non-title Russian chain match where Nikita Koloff defeats Magnum TA. So that was nice. Well, let's see. What does WWF have? WWF is, I think they're in the Cap Center. Yeah, let's go back and look at this. Wait, well, WWF is doing, all this stuff going on with the AWA and the Crockett Cup doesn't really affect WWF in the least. So, in terms of what they're booking, matter of fact, they're still at the point where they're just doing insane. They don't actually like plan a schedule, like where there's a loop. It's more like they're just flying guys cross country as it comes to them. Much like Cauliflower Alley, I guess. The Cauliflower Alley people would know how that works. Those who worked for WWF and could explain it to you. Okay, so yeah, WWF, two shows on Sunday the 20th. The A show is in, Cleveland, Richfield, Ohio, the Richfield Coliseum, where if you got that show, you're watching, George Steele beat the Iron Sheik by DQ. And the main event, Hulk Hogan and the Junkyard Dog beat King Kong Bundy and Dory Funk Jr. because Terry Funk wasn't there. Over at the Cap Center, Landover, Maryland, it is the Dream Team and Johnny V defeating Tito Santana and the British Bulldogs in a six-man. And the main event, Ricky Steamboat defeats Intercontinental Champion Randy Savage by countout. And with WrestleRock, we've discussed at length. 1986, not quite as crazy as 1985, but still a very good year for the professional wrestling business, I would say.
Yeah, no, it's a good year. It's a very, I think it's a year that's in a blind spot for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's better than they think.
Yeah, but, and I think part of it, though, was, WWF taking another wave of guys, and you know, the impression that you're getting is that WWF is going to win this war against, you know, the WWF versus the world, or WWF versus all the other promoters, is going to end with a WWF victory. And I think that's fair, actually. I think that's kind of what happened. Sad but true. Okay, so now it's time for the important part, Jim. We've completed 350 episodes. Congratulations to us. And we're looking forward to bringing hundreds more to you guys. But the question is what we're going to do next. All right, so let me take a look inside. Let's go with something simple. Actually, nothing simple because, you know, most of the stuff on the network is not up on Peacock, which is what we have over here in the United States. Let's see. So I looked at our list of listener submissions and picked, you know, and sort of cross-referenced it with what we do have on Peacock. And I think we're going to pick out of the listener submissions, since we're in, you know, Memorial Day weekend, the month of June starting up, the WWF Great American Bash 2004. And that's a popular show headlined by, I want to say, the bull rope match, Eddie Guerrero defending the title against JBL. And what's the other big deal on this show? Oh yeah. And the infamous Concrete Crypt match, The Undertaker against the Dudleys.
Oh. I thought you were going to say the one with the Great Khali, the other one.
No, that's not in 2004.
Okay, I don't remember what year it is.
Also 2004, the U.S. four-way for the U.S. title. It is John Cena versus Booker T versus Rob Van Dam versus Rene Dupree. Three guesses on how that ended. Okay. All right. Well, that's good. So we'll put that in there. What do you have on that? What's your idea here?
You know, I was looking up, Great American Bash, and it keeps bringing up, behind the scenes of the Great American Bash 88. We don't want to watch that.
No, that probably wouldn't be the one. That probably wouldn't be our choice.
The infamous, Jimmy Garvin, backstage video of everybody having fun.
Yes, that's one way to describe it.
Having fun.
As far as you know, that's what they were doing. That's all that, you know. Unless you watch the video, we'll stick with having fun. Okay.
Let's see. I don't know. See, we're in a hard spot because everything is,
in limbo.
In limbo. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, we can say that.
So how about this?
Uh-huh.
How about, it's on YouTube.
Yeah.
It's 2.5 hours long.
Okay.
It's AWA Night of Champions 2, December 29, 1985.
Meadowlands?
Yes.
I like this. Okay.
The Road Warriors against the Russians. Oh. Ric Flair against Dusty Rhodes.
Okay.
Magnum against Tully. A handicap match. Boris Zukov and Chris Markov against Sergeant Slaughter. The Long Riders against the Rock and Roll Express. Many others, plus the main event. The AWA World Heavyweight Championship on the line.
Oh, my goodness.
Rick Martel against Stan the Lariat Hansen.
Oh, well. Yeah, that's pretty good.
I think that's, considering where we find ourselves with Peacock and finding wrestling content, I think I'm pretty confident with my choice.
Okay. Well, I'm going to go with something that's on YouTube as well. I know you're shocked. I just want to make sure I'm pulling this up here because, yeah, let's see. Might as well go with something that's not on the network or on Peacock. Let's see if I can find it here. All right. Yes, everybody's favorite arena, the Capitol Center in Landover, Maryland, where I grew up. Televised on the USA Network, the June 27th, 1981 Capitol Center show. A huge main event. It is going to be Bob Backlund defending against Angelo Mosca, plus the big 2 out of 3 falls matchup with Tony Garea and Rick Martel teaming with Andre the Giant against the tag team champions of the Moondog and Captain Lou Albano. And, of course, Mil Máscaras versus Sergeant Slaughter. That's going to be something.
Well, I hope Sergeant Slaughter gets rid of that Ford. Oh, wait, no. He's the bad guy there.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he's the bad guy.
As far as I know, yes. Plus there's this young hotshot named Kurt Hennig on the show in the second match. Yeah, I'm hearing good things about him.
Yeah, no doubt.
Okay, so, yeah, there you go. It's your the 1981 version of Raw. Because that's, you know, that is what they ended up. You know, they took the shows that they were running, and before they had their official deal with USA Network to run All American Wrestling and those shows, they would just show occasional house shows. They'd just put random house shows on USA Network from like New York or Philadelphia or DC or wherever. And you'd see, you know, they'd pop up a week or two after they actually happen, because cable was a little bit different back then. You know, they didn't put the same amount of effort into programming the USA Network as they do now. All right, so let's see here. Okay, jeez, I'm going to try the randomizer, Jim. However, you know the problem here that whatever we pick might not be on Crockett or on, might not be on Peacock or on YouTube, or definitely not on Crockett.
Yeah, should we put the randomizer on hold for now?
I don't want.
Okay.
I do like my randomizer. Plus, we get interesting stuff off of it that we would never think of doing ourselves. All right, let's see here. Sound effect. Here we go. I just need the. Is this it? Oh, jeez. I want to say it's this one. Okay, here we go. All right, so we are going to give the randomizer a giant spin. And here we go. It's ECW, WCW, Mid-Atlantic, Primetime Wrestling, WCW Thunder, and we stop at ECW Hardcore TV, which is actually nowhere. Yeah. Okay, we landed on ECW Hardcore TV for January 7th, 2000, and I know for a fact that this isn't on YouTube, and they haven't uploaded the stuff to Peacock yet. But they do have ECW from January of 2000. It's called ECW Guilty as Charged 2000, and I think we should just substitute that in, and since it's actually on Peacock, and just not worry about it. Jim?
Okay.
Let me see if I can remember what's on that show. Probably not. Okay. Oh, Birmingham, Alabama. Okay. That ECW hotbed. Oh, yes, I remember. Okay, so, yeah, it is Mike Awesome defending the ECW title against Spike Dudley. Tommy Dreamer and Raven defend the tag titles against Lance Storm and Justin Credible. And RVD defends the TV title against his old buddy Sabu. That'll work. That's That's pretty good for ECW in 2000. Okay, so let's see. We got. I don't think we can go wrong, really. Let's see. Yep. We got. You got your Great American Bash. You got your Night of Champions. You got your. You got your WWF 1981 house show. And we got Guilty as Charged. Okay. And by the way, Jim, if you'd like to know more about Magnum TA, Rugged Ronnie Garvin, Road Warrior Hawk, Road Warrior Animal, or referee Earl Hebner, feel free to visit pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, or head down to your local library app where they're all in books. Jim?
I'm looking forward to seeing what people choose. It's definitely going to cook me this time. It worked again.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And, of course, business on Twitter. I'm Real Pat McNeil. He is at Jim Valley. Please leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review for us on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google, or wherever you get your podcasts. And you know, we're looking forward to having a nice, relaxing Memorial Day weekend and watching some high-quality professional wrestling with you. And just want to thank you for being aboard for the ride here on Wayback Playback as we approach the end of our 7th year of doing this together. Jim, do you ever get the feeling that we've wasted our lives?
Feeling?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that would imply that there's some sort of doubt about that.
Yeah, that's fair. All right, but again, everybody, have yourself, enjoy the rest of your weekend. Have a great time. And until then, yesterday is history, tomorrow's a mystery. Next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.